Adrian Stills of Osceola Golf Course. A pleasure to have Adrian on as always. Adrian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Drew. This is ideal golf weather. Anything outside today?
Oh, yeah, it is. I walked outside. I was like, man, it feels real. It's a little bit toasty, but it feels nice.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And there's also no rain as well. How are things holding up at Osceola right now?
Boy, it's looking good out there. We probably about 3 weeks away from the finished product, 3 to 4 weeks of repairs from Hurricane Sally on number one. And again, it's kind of an eyesore is turning into an asset. The golf course is in great shape.
Great.
So we encourage people to come on out.
Spectacular stuff. I remember you've been talking about how the repairs from Hurricane Sally were starting up and how things are going. It's good to get an update on that, and it sounds like everything is going well. So I wanted to ask you about this. We're getting into what used to be the quote-unquote off-season. You know the Tour Championship is done, and right. We're looking ahead to the new part of the calendar, if you will, as a part of the 2022-2023 season. There's really no off-season, but we do see a lot of the top players in the world take some of these tournaments off over the course of the fall and the winter. How important is this time frame for these guys now that it's not like there is a designated off season? You have to stay on top of your game.
Yeah, you do. You know, it's the fall season. The way the tour has a wraparound year now is designed really, you know, to accommodate more sponsors. But this is the ideal time for the guys that haven't had a great year going so far. And if they want to be able to keep their playing privileges, they've got to get into that 125 number, which this year probably take like $1.5 million to get into that. So you're going to find a lot of new names popping up here in the next couple of weeks. And it's actually a very exciting time to see. I mean, these guys have their careers on the line. So they'll be participating in those events. And there'll be a couple, you know, the name players, obviously, that still want to play. But for the most part, this allows the guys that didn't get in all of the tournaments throughout the course of the year because they were rookies or whatever. This gives them a chance to break into that top 125. So it's an exciting time on the tour.
Yeah, and I do think that this is, you know, I mentioned the Tour Championship and how big that tournament obviously is. A lot of big names in there. Some guys who are rumored to go to LIV Golf. Some other ones who were, you know, obviously going to stay, Rory McIlroy being one of them. And for him to be a guy that has been nothing but spectacular and really put the tour on his back, how important is him winning the FedEx Cup for the PGA Tour, and how important is it for just him as a golfer to be able to, you know, add to his achievements?
Yeah, I tell you what, I mean, he literally did pretty much take on the whole LIV Golf thing, or he was the spearheading guy behind the idea of trying to keep the guys from chasing unbelievable amounts of money. And for him to go ahead and pretty much let his game do the talking and win the Tour Championship and have the kind of year that he had, we could not have had a better representative, the PGA Tour could not have, than Rory McIlroy. Or maybe if Tiger had come out and won, but still,
right.
He has had a fantastic year, and he sticks to his guns on the golf course and what his beliefs are as far as the tour is concerned.
Now, I do want, there's one thing, too, and I'll get to Rory's side of things in just a minute, more of what he's had to say about the LIV guys, but obviously, Cameron Smith going over, Mark Leishman going over, some others as well. Greg Norman has said that LIV has no interest in a truce with the PGA Tour, and I found this interesting as well. Phil Mickelson is considering dropping his name from the federal antitrust lawsuit, and he says that because LIV is involved, there's nothing for me to stay in it other than damages, and that's... I don't really want or need anything. I feel like they've kind of switched roles here where Greg Norman was like, we're doing this for the best of the game of golf. You know, we're doing it to grow the game, where now you're not involving yourself in a truce. It's like you are announcing yourself as a rival to the PGA Tour in that regard, where Phil,
sure.
where Phil, I think he still has a little bit of a soft spot for the PGA Tour. I think it's just that I think Phil wanted so badly for players to get maybe a little bit more of a piece of the pie that, and I'm not saying that Phil went too far, because obviously I think he did, in leaving and going with Greg Norman to do this, but it seems as if there's a little part of Phil that really appreciates the PGA Tour a lot, and just in a way, not that he regrets his decision, but wishes that the PGA Tour would have done something, for him to drop his name from the lawsuit. To me, it is an admission of, I don't need or I don't want anything. Like, the money is whatever to me. I just wanted us to be held as more important individuals to the PGA Tour. Is that a fair assessment, do you think, or is that a little off, and Phil is still the same guy that we think he is?
Well, you know, Drew, that's a tough question. I really hope, sincerely, I really hope that Phil is feeling in that manner. You know, the major difference between Phil and, you know, everybody else, especially Greg Norman, is next to Tiger, he's got one of the best records of any golfer that's ever picked up the golf club.
Yeah.
Greg had a fantastic career. I was playing when Greg was number one in the world, and he was an outstanding player, but he didn't win but one major, maybe two.
Mm.
Phil, you know, has done a lot more than that. And I hope, the thought process of the legacy that he's stepping away from by going to this rival tour has made him have second thoughts. But, you know, I say that. That's my hope. I hope that's where he is. But, you know, again, he could just be doing that just to try to do a little damage control. And I really can't tell you which one of those two scenarios that he's chosen. But I hope that the legacy part is finally getting to him.
So I wanted to go back and ask you a golf lesson question, I guess, if you will. So Rory McIlroy obviously generates so much power off the tee. Do you think that when it comes down to it, is it more of a mindset type of deal when you're getting down to, you know, the BMW Championship and the Tour Championship and the playoffs? It obviously is part in how you're playing, but do you think that there's a more important aspect to the game, whether it be mental, and if it's physical, what part of the game do you need to have going for you in order to continue to advance through the playoffs and be able to play well?
Well, I mean, there's the ball striking wise, Rory might be one of the best drivers of the golf ball we've ever seen, as far as distance and direction when he's on. Greg Norman actually was a hell of a driver of the ball. But without a doubt, Rory, it's a tremendous advantage once he gets that driver cranking it up the way he does. And, you know, it always goes back, though. You see those stats, the driving stats, and that's what sells tickets. But look at his short game this year. It's been phenomenal. He's done a fantastic job working with Brad Faxon with his putting. And you get a guy that drives it better when he's on, drives it better than anybody on the planet, and all of a sudden he's got a short game. That's a great recipe. You know, that's a great recipe for success. And then the other part of success is when you have some success and build on it. And obviously he's been able to do that. That's where the mental side comes in. It's easier. It's still not a guarantee, but it's easier to get confidence when you've had good success in the past. And then you've done the due diligence and the work necessary to get your game in the best shape it can be in. You just become a force. You become a person that's hard to beat, and that's who Rory is when he's firing in all cylinders.
I'm looking at his stats right now. So he ranked second on the tour in driving distance. He ranked 12th on the tour in greens and regulation percentage. He ranked fourth in birdie average. He ranked first in scoring average, and he also ranked 12th in sand save percentage. So, I mean, we're talking about putting the whole package together: driving distance, greens in regulation, birdie average, and sand save percentage. I mean, he was the complete package. Obviously, the reason why he ended up winning the Tour Championship. But you look at, I mean, those are all the aspects of the game there, Adrian. You would say driving, and then obviously your approaches and your wedges and your irons, green in regulations, and then your sand saves. If you miss the green, I'm able to get the ball up and down, and then your birdie average is fourth on the tour. So I think, you know, being able to get to Rory's level, he is one of the best players. And I know that I feel bad for Rory in a way, because he was always compared to Tiger Woods when he was younger. And now that he's become, in a way, we know he's not going to be Tiger Woods, but we know that him being able to take a stand for the PGA Tour and also be able to play, have almost a revelation with his game, and where he was struggling a little bit for a little while, and he's found a way to come back and be very, very good and the best player on tour, I think is really, really cool.
It is. It is. And, you know, he's got a huge sense of integrity. You know, doing the right thing when nobody's looking, and basically standing up for what he believes in. And you top all that off with fantastic talent and results because of that talent coming out. So, you know, it's hard to root against somebody like that. And I think he's just great for the tour. I don't know where the tour is going now. It's going to be a tough battle. I'm hoping some compromise can be reached. The brief time I've spent around Greg Norman, I know that might be a very difficult thing to do. But I don't want to see the game be shattered. It's not going to be shattered, but sure. You know, there's a sense that these guys have jumped over because of greed, and you know, you can't blame some of them. You know, some of them were on a downside of their 40s and not winning as much, and somebody throws you $30, $40, $50 million, and you only got to do it for 4 years. That's really hard to resist that. But yeah. I hope and pray that they come to some conclusion, some mutual conclusion, that they can keep going forward from here.
Yeah, I'm hoping for the same thing, because I know you obviously love the game of golf, and your life's work has been golf. But I mean, everybody that loves golf, I think, should be in favor of the truce being had and some sort of a get together that we can really make this thing good for the game of golf and continue to build the great game. Well, Adrian, appreciate the time as always. You have a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again here soon.
Outstanding, group. Keep doing the great work, and let's get everybody outside. The weather's perfect.